Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Pricedale.
Ooh, that would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning.
Just and go, for a good price.
And for a great price. You know what? No price is too high when we're talking about the best coffee you can get. And that's Strange Brew Coffee. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com is the website. Go there and you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. That's what they gave me on the copy here. But I'm going to just tell you how it is. If you own a business, you already spend money on printing. Simple as that. It's part of your monthly budget. Guys, if you're a Mississippi State fan, I'm giving you an opportunity here to work with a great company in Pip Printing and Signs and see a portion of your sale go directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. You don't spend any more money. You just get great printing and your name on the banner as one of the Bulldog Initiative businesses. Now, guys, that is something that is simply, you cannot beat that deal as a Mississippi State fan. Call our friend Camden Baker at 601-499-5216 and give him a call. Tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning, and boom, you're off and running with Pip Printing and Signs. When you need printing, call Pip Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. They've got plenty of it. They've got the logos that you want. They've got stuff for your house, your car, your tailgate, whatever it is to let people know you're a Mississippi State Bulldog. They've got it at College Corner. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, let me tell you how strong the appeal of Restaurant Tyler is. I received a text today from noted scalawag Ben Garrett. Literally the worst person I've ever met. What did he say? Hey, I'm here at Restaurant Tyler today. One of my friends said that you recommended it, and I heard it's good. I'm going to check it out. That's right, folks. Even Ben Garrett knows that Restaurant Tyler is the place to be on a Sunday.
And you said he got the Mississippi River.
That's what he said. I didn't check back in and see if he enjoyed
it. That's my go-to at brunch.
That's what I told him to get. He said he was going to go for the waffle, and I was like, well, the waffle is good. It is good. But it ain't good.
That's an excellent choice for brunch.
It is, though. It is. So what I'm saying is simply this. If Ben Garrett can eat there and be happy, well, how happy is a normal person going to be? Go to Restaurant Tyler and enjoy yourself today. 16 Priority One Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. That means if you live in Central Mississippi, hey, there's one near you. So why don't you deal with them? Why don't you talk to them instead of talking to some big corporate bank who doesn't really give a rat's you know what about you? You want to talk to somebody at a community bank that still offers all the financial services, that also allows you to maximize your money the way a big corporate bank will, but you don't have to deal with all the service mishaps that are always going to happen with those big corporate banks. That's what happens at Priority One Bank. They treat you with kindness. They treat you with respect. When it's your money involved, you want to be able to talk to people you know. You don't want to be one phone call away from a human being. Not, stop me if you've heard this before. Your business is very important to us.
Ugh.
Yeah, nobody wants
Please
that.
Please stay on the line for another 45
For the first available,
minutes.
Your current hold time is 48 minutes. That's what the other banks give you. At Priority One Bank, they give you, hello, hey, what's going on? Simple as that. There it is. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Mississippi State's priority this weekend was a sweep. They didn't quite get there, Robbie Falk. And what a weird weekend, right? State completely dominant on Friday and Saturday. Run rules the Crimson Tide. on Friday, an 8-1 win on Saturday. It looked like they're in perfect position. They only used four pitchers in the first two games. They got the full bullpen at their back. And they just did not get out of, to use a Kentucky Derby reference, they did not get out of the stalls the way you would want to. A slow start turned into a 7-1 deficit. Alabama would just continue to tack on runs. Whenever State would score, Alabama would come right back and get another run. And they get the Sunday game. So it's at the end of this, Robbie, I think, let me double check. I think I saw that the RPI up to is at 18 for Mississippi State. They're right there where they want to be going into to next weekend. They've jumped 10 spots this week. We said they had to have a 3-1 week. They had that.
Mm-hmm.
But you just can't help but feel like they left a little meat on the bone after Sunday's game.
Yeah, it's just a continuation for this team this year. I mean, there's just been – I feel like this team could be a top three team in the rankings right now had they just not gotten in their own way.
Yeah.
Almost every loss they've had this year, you can blame on them. Mm-hmm. Just not doing the little things right. There's like a couple of games. You know, the Sunday Ole Miss game, they just got killed.
Mm-hmm.
The Saturday A&M game. Was that Thursday through Saturday?
It was Thursday through Saturday.
Yeah, that game.
They just lost.
They just got beat.
Yeah.
A&M shoved it. They just got beat. Other than that, they should have. Every game that they've lost, and maybe you could say Vanderbilt too, that first game. So let's say three games. The other seven games they've lost in SEC play is solely on them, in my opinion. The two Florida games, the Saturday game against Ole Miss, the A&M game where they gave up the grand slam. They lost the game by four, I think, in that Friday game or Thursday game. What else? The Sunday game against Alabama, the Saturday game against Georgia where you had the stuff with Johnny Long. You had all the momentum in that game. Every game they've lost in those seven games I've mentioned was on them. And you go back to the non-conference games. These are things that Mississippi State just doesn't do correctly that cost them games. And we harp on that stuff. You know, people are saying, well, we won the series. What? That's what Chris Lemonis is arguing against.
Yeah.
That's why he's mad. So if you want to get mad at somebody for being negative on this one, get mad at Chris Lemonis because he's not happy. He wasn't happy with how this weekend ended. This team is not doing the little things right that could be the difference in them hosting or being a national seed and not. And that's the biggest takeaway from Sunday. But if you're looking at the weekend as a whole, every single one of us would have taken this result, Mississippi State winning the series.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. The goal is still intact for Mississippi State to host a regional. Nothing changed with that this weekend. Nothing. We all thought that Mississippi State would win 2 out of 3 because Bama is, in my opinion, a solid team.
Mm-hmm.
It's disappointing the way that it turned out because this team was absolutely gassed. I was looking at them before the game. Half of the team was in the dugout with a towel on their head, like bent over on the benches, just completely exhausted because of this food poisoning thing
mm-hmm.
that happened to them. And you couldn't beat that team
mm-hmm.
on Sunday. That's the disappointing thing about it. Mississippi State didn't come out and just step on their throats, which is what they should have done. They should have come out, buried Alabama in the ground, and taken the sweep. And, tough luck. You ate, bad sausage at the Holiday Inn in Columbus.
All of those years of trying of feeding good barbecue.
Yeah.
We finally made it work. It was a trap.
Right. I felt so bad for them, man, because we've all
Saturday,
been there.
It was evident. Like, even the players who were out there were struggling.
We've all been there where we've gotten food poisoning.
Or just had
and
a
we've just,
bad stomach.
We're constantly in the bathroom. We're living on the toilet.
Trying to play.
And going from the bathroom to the bed is tough.
Yeah.
Imagine going out there in 85 degrees. It was hot on Saturday.
And humid.
Imagine going out there. One dude jogged off the field. They had to take him out of the game in the 8th. I don't know if he had an accident or what, but he came out of the ball game, and I watched him. He ran. He didn't stop and high-five anybody. He ran directly to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And we've all been there. Imagine doing that in you have to go play a game now. It was tough. I felt really bad for him. But State took care of business the first two games. That's exactly what you were wanting to do coming the weekend. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. I'm going to play both sides of it. State should have won that ball game. And you're sitting here at 14-10. Everybody in this fan base would have taken that if you would have told them that.
Yeah.
The disappointing thing is there could be so much more right now. You're talking about a team that could have that could be in the lead in the SEC right now. If they just won half of the games that they could have won. If you just won three or four of those games that you could have won, you're sitting here at 17-7.
Easily.
Whew.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I feel like it feels like a lot of times with Mississippi State, when they're good, you keep pointing out like it could have been. It could have been like
2021 was like that.
Yeah, basketball this past year was this way.
2021 was like that. I remember people were frustrated in 2016 when State didn't sweep Bama.
Yeah,
late in the season that team won the SEC.
Yeah,
you know that team struggled in non-conference play. 2019 they had their faults that year too. You know, 2019 you had a chance to sweep South Carolina and I think end with the SEC regular season like tie for the championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2021 might have been something like that too. They lost the series against Missouri.
Yeah,
I mean it happens, but that's the frustrating thing. It's like it's just like stuff that you look at out there and you're like, this is little league stuff.
Yeah,
getting picked off at first base, like hanging off the bag too far, overrunning third base and getting thrown out at third.
Mm-hmm.
You know, booting the ball at third base, it's little league stuff. And it's things that this team has got to do better or they're going to have a short season. This is going to be a quick exit in the NCAA tournament. So I think that this team, like I said, I think this team has all the potential to be a College World Series team. I don't say that lightly. I think they have the potential to be that. I think they've shown the ability to have great starts from three different starters, and Brooks Auger was not good on Sunday, but he's shown the ability to go out there and give you five good innings, mm-hmm. great innings, and then Gerangelo and Cal are good almost every single time they go out. You're getting six innings at least from them.
Mm-hmm.
You have everything at your disposal there to make a run in postseason play with that pitching. And then the offense, it seems to be coming around a little bit. They weren't great on Sunday, but 10 hits, 5 runs, I mean, should be in position with that. So this team has the ability to do it.
Three solo home runs?
Yeah.
Single run home runs?
Yeah. And what would have been a two-run shot if Connor Hijack gets picked off?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It's just little things. If they just clean it up, you're good, but they're doing just enough to not put them over the top right now. These next 2 weeks are absolutely huge.
Yeah. So State, as I said, 18th in the RPI now. Looking around, Georgia's RPI took a huge jump this weekend. They swept Vanderbilt and put themselves into great. They're now in the number 5 RPI team, and they're 13-11. They have Florida the last weekend of the season, who is just falling apart.
Mm.
They have a legit chance to host.
What did Florida do this? They got swept.
I think Florida got swept by Arkansas, didn't they?
Tennessee, I think, is who they played.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so Tennessee got it right here. They took 2 out of 3. Tennessee took 2 out of 3.
So they're not going to make the tournament, I don't think.
I don't think they're going to make the tournament. They're 24-23.
Do you have to be 2 games above 500?
You just have to be above 500.
Okay, 1 game.
But the problem with that is if you go to Hoover 1 game over 500 and you lose, you're 500.
Gotta win. What's their SEC record?
Hold on. So Florida, this is it doesn't matter what their SEC record is. They have South Florida this week.
Well, it does. It does kind of matter.
Their next two series are against Kentucky. They're got Kentucky and then they're at Georgia.
Okay, so
they're not going to make it. They're not going to make the NCAA tournament.
That's incredible. They were top 5 in the
country.
Top
5 preseason, yeah. Florida in the conference is 10-14. They're probably going
to
finish.
They're going to need to win 4 games. They're going to need to win both series.
They're not going to do that. So they're probably going to
the talent they have.
12-18, 11-17.
Jack Caglione,
who's number 2 pick in the draft probably.
Oh, man, you're not going to
get. So Georgia, though, on the other hand, like I said, has made a step up. A&M lost 2 out of 3 this weekend. State was in a position today that had they won, they would have been tied with A&M for second in the West. And A&M and Arkansas played the last weekend. You had a real chance there to maybe steal second place in the West. That's unlikely now. Like, as we mentioned, Arkansas this weekend played Kentucky and lost 2 out of 3. Kentucky, that's a really good team. They're 35-10. They're 18-6 overall. A&M's 40-8. They're 16-8 in the conference now after losing 2 out of 3. LSU is kind of starting to pick up a little bit. They're now 9-15 in the conference. Their last two series are against Alabama, which is at Alabama, and Alabama's been really, really good at home. But the way LSU is playing right now, they might be able to take that, and then they finish at home against Ole Miss. LSU is probably going to get to like not to 15 wins. They have to sweep, but they're probably going to get to like 14 wins. They're going to get in. They'll be in the NCAA tournament. So
if they get to 14, they'll definitely.
Their RPI is 35.
Yeah,
they're going to get in. Ole Miss is losing as we speak.
Yeah, that's a wild game. They got 5 runs in the first inning, and then Auburn's
just try to hold on. Yeah, and yeah. Auburn has just pieced it together.
8-6 in the eighth.
Eight to six. Top of the ninth.
Okay.
With one out. So Ole Miss does have the tying run at the plate right this second. So we'll keep an eye on that. Auburn has fallen out of the top 50 in RPI. They're at 52.
Now, yeah, State sweeping that was good.
Yeah.
That doesn't hurt.
If they win this game, they should jump back into the top 50. Ole Miss is at 21 in the RPI. They the number two strength of schedule. Florida has number one.
If Ole Miss gets a 13, they should get in.
They'll get into the NCAA tournament, yeah.
But the trouble is you lose this one. Are they at 10 wins?
They're at 9. And they play.
That's going to be tough.
And they're at A&M next week.
You're probably going to get swept. I think it's A&M. Right.
Are they at A&M or are they at home?
They're at home because they play at Baton Rouge.
You're right. You're correct. But even so,
you're going to be playing a LSU team that's gotten hot.
Do you know what time the game is on Friday at in Oxford?
8 o'clock.
8:30.
Oh my gosh.
8:30 first pitch.
What a nightmare.
You want to go? Let's just go get hammered. I mean, I assume it's Central.
Well, because you know State played them at 7:30.
Let me check this.
State played them at 7:30.
It
can't be 8:30.
I think you're right. Yeah, that's got to be Eastern time.
But there should be no baseball games starting after 7.
That's crazy.
I hate 7 p.m. games.
Yeah. So looking at the RPI, here's how the SEC pans out. A&M is at 1. This is as of this moment in time. Kentucky's at 2. Kentucky could go up to 1. In this situation, Arkansas is 3, Georgia 5. If they take care of their business, if they win the next two series they have, they'll host.
Yeah.
Tennessee is at 8. They're going to host. They're 17-7 in the conference. South Carolina is maybe going to host.
They're so mid. Like,
yeah.
It's just for, like, I think they're a solid team. It's just like a mid.
From Missouri.
Like, they're a mid team, like, you just don't really care about, you know?
So.
Like I haven't watched a single game.
They have a game this weekend or this week that's kind of like State's game with Northern Alabama. They play Winthrop this weekend. Winthrop is current, or this Tuesday, I'm sorry. They're currently 228 in the RPI. But that game is at Winthrop, so that helps you a little bit. I don't know either.
It's like State played the Citadel.
But then they have Georgia at home, and then they're at Tennessee. So they could take some losses there.
Yeah.
Then you have State at 18. Alabama's at 14, but they're not going to host at 10-14 with two series left.
Was so big for State to get this series.
Yeah, it was huge.
It would have been great to get the sweep, but
again, we've been saying it for the past
few
weeks.
If you win the series, you've won the weekend.
Yeah.
And then anything more is just gravy. And I'm right there with Chris Amonis. You're trying to make up games that you lost.
We just talked about that, yeah.
You didn't expect to sweep Alabama.
Bases loaded.
You didn't expect to sweep Alabama, so it was a huge opportunity for you to make up a game just like you did. Mm-hmm. I mean, Auburn, you're kind of hoping for a sweep, but we went into that too, saying like they just need to win the series.
Yeah,
they kind of made up a game there.
Yeah.
So this is this series with Arkansas coming up is
just don't
you don't need to get swept, but
don't get swept.
If you can somehow steal that one.
If you are 15-12 when we're doing this podcast a week from today, you're fine.
Yeah.
And then you play Missouri, and in all likelihood,
you just need to win the series.
You'll win the series, but if you can sweep them and you're 18-12, you're going to host.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. Today was kind of like a dessert game, right? You would have liked to have had it, but it wasn't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So Good weekend, though, for State. Just a really good weekend. And also a good weekend for the city of Starkville. And I want to give a big, big shout-out. We had him here on the podcast, Alden Thornhill. Alden Thornhill is a man that has he's taken some of the things we've talked about on this podcast, and he does them.
Yeah.
You know, he is a guy that is, he has a great vision for Starkville. I mean, if he wants to run for mayor, he's got my support. And the Starkville Derby, what an incredible event. 60,000. There were more people watching wiener dogs in Starkville than were at a single Mississippi State football game this year.
I don't know how you figure that out, like how you know how many people were there, but if it was indeed 60,000,
yeah,
that's incredible.
That's an incredible moment.
That is a, you know, it's a 200 SEC, dogs. It's not quite an SEC football home game weekend, but it was very close
very
to
close
it.
Very close to it.
And, you know, and he and I have talked about this a lot.
Yeah.
There's so much dead space in Starkville. Mm-hmm. There's so much, and I'm not talking about real estate. I'm talking about time.
Days on the calendar.
Yes. There's so much dead space where there's nothing going on. Why can't you force people to come to Starkville to do stuff? This was something that he wanted to do for the city of Starkville, but also at the same time for the Octavio County Humane Society, which I know is very dear to his heart. And I appreciate Alden for doing this because there's just not enough people. It's kind of like Charlie Winfield with the Bulldog Initiative. So many people just sit on their hands and, you know, we haven't really done anything. Like, we haven't gone out there and actually physically done anything, but our way of doing things is talking about it and getting it out on a platform and saying what's on our mind about the city of Starkville and how much better Mississippi State can be and things like that. I appreciate Alden for actually going out there and putting it together. And there's a lot of you out there that can do this. There's so many people out there that have the potential, that have the connections to do things like this. This is something that can be a tradition in Starkville for decades. This can be something that, that Starkville is known for nationwide. This can be, there's people that come from different states over here to this that were involved in the race and things like that. Sorry, my keys just fell out of my pocket. But my point is, why can Starkville not do more of that? Starkville can be so much more special than what it already is. It means a lot to us, but outside of the city of Starkville, there's a lot of people that crap on it, that call it a dump, that call it a redneck town, things like that. You can change the entire view of this university and this view of this town if people would just invest in it. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate Alden and all the people that were involved in this that are willing to invest in it to make Starkville a cooler place, a better destination than what it is.
Really great event, well run, all the vendors, all the cool stuff. We have to give a special shout out, by the way, to the Country Kettle food truck. They sell popcorn and pork skins, and they can also rig up a Band-Aid for you if you need one, Robbie Falk.
They can. I cut my thumb on a can. I was playing around with it, sliced it wide open.
He was bleeding like a stuck pig.
I looked down, I was like, oh, that's a lot of blood coming out there.
Yeah.
And so we sat around, like,
tried to find out.
I cleaned it up a little bit, and I was like, oh, still going. And so you were like, yeah, I think we need to go get that taken care of. So you and I and Stefan walked down the street looking for the ambulance, which was going to be embarrassing. Like, hey, you guys got a Band-Aid? But it was cut, like, kind of deep enough, and it was, like, right on my nail, like, right on the nail that it was about to get really bad. And we went up to that lady. I think maybe you asked her, like, do you have any Band-Aid? And she said, what's the problem? And we told her.
My thought process is, you know, it's a food truck. They might have a knife in there. And where there's a knife, you should have a Band-Aid.
Right, right. And then she's like, no, but I'm a mom, and I can take care of that.
She takes a paper towel and folded it up over Robbie's thumb, and then they had the Country Kettle stickers.
Yes.
She tears it in half and, like, wraps it around his thumb, and that's how we had to bandage up Robbie's thumb. So shout out to Country Kettle. If you see their truck, pick up some pork skins and some they got flavored pork skins, flavored popcorn. Oh, it's a 9-8 Ole Miss. I'm gonna try to sell you on something. I was talking to a friend of mine last night. I saw you put your head down there. Look at me. We want them to win this game. We want them to do just enough
to keep
Bianco.
Yeah.
That's what you want at this point. So, That's the first runs of the game for Ole Miss. That's not from a home run.
All I can see is
Auburn, by the way.
All I can see is 13 and 17.
Getting hot?
Yeah.
Nah, that's not the same team. One thing I want to say, though, Auburn, if they lose this game, they would be the first team eliminated from Hoover.
This would be the worst season they've ever had, I think.
Oh, it's got to be.
Yeah.
Got to be. So
they're awful, man. They're so bad.
Well, their administration just doesn't care about baseball. And, I mean, when you have an administration that's not willing to commit to
this is the John Cohen effect, huh?
What can you do? So, what a great weekend here in Starkville. Great baseball. Great softball weekend for softball. The Bulldogs take 2 out of 3 from Georgia. They are the number 6 seed in the SEC tournament. That's the highest seed they've ever gotten under this new format. Good weekend for men's tennis. They advance to the Sweet 16, I believe.
Yep.
And they will take on the number 1 Ohio State Buckeyes. It's a family battle, though. Family. Between Mark Titus and Brandon Walker.
Oh, is he an Ohio State guy?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about
that. Oh, you don't know who Titus is? You know the Club Trillion?
Nope.
Okay. Oh. So you're not part of the family?
I'm not.
I am. I'm part of the family. Family. So, anyway. Well, there you go. So, yeah. Good weekend here in Starkville. Really enjoyed it. And I said, the Starkville Derby, what a fun event. And we need to come up with the fall version of it.
Yes.
So.
Or summer.
Summer.
I mean.
Yeah.
There's things that need to happen in the summer.
Yeah.
Starkville is dead as a doornail in the summer.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I'm just like on the table for this summer concert series, making people come here. They'll come here at any point in the year if you bring something for people to come see.
Yeah.
So I don't see why you can't do that. Just because Starkville's never done it, that's not a good excuse for me anymore. Starkville's never done the Dachshund race.
Yeah, and look what it became.
Yeah. So.
It's just I've talked to Alden before, but like you're just sitting around thinking, let's throw a wiener dog race, right?
Yeah.
You think this is not gonna we're gonna end up hosting this in the backyard at Dave's or something,
right?
And it turns into 60,000 people, and how much money raised? I need to ask him that. I did not ask him that. How much money raised for the Humane Society? It's a great deal.
It was a smart thing, yeah. And you got
it
all kind of people there. You got kids.
If you put something together, and you really do a good job of putting it together, people will be attracted. As long as it's not dumb,
yeah.
People will be. I mean, wiener dog race on the surface sounds like what, but
yeah.
When you think about it, it's fun. People love their pets. It's fun. Yeah, we need more of that. So again,
if there's somebody out there listening to this saying, yeah. I could never do nothing like that,
you could do it.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure at one point Alden was like,
"Robbie
I can't
and I
do
will help
like
you
this.
If we can do it." So.
We'll give you a platform at the very least.
At the very least. Right.
Hey, also, we even got to go up there.
We got
and
to go announce one of the races, too.
So there was a few boos.
I was nervous we were going to get really booed.
Did you hear any boos?
I just think
people just didn't know who we were.
I didn't hear a whole lot of, oh, my God, it's Brian and Robbie.
So, no, I think people were just like, eh.
Like, who are these two guys? What's a podcast?
You know? There were a lot of people that stopped us and said they listened to the podcast. We appreciate
always
you guys.
Always great to see you guys out there. We appreciate that. We ran into the legendary Colton Watson.
We did.
That was fun. We ran into, I don't know, I forget it. I know his real name. I won't dox him because he goes by, but it's True Maroon on Twitter. He spoke to us. That was great. And then I cannot tell you, this is the number of people, these are the people I talked to in the left field lounge that people would know. All right. I talked to some people y'all wouldn't know, but I talked to Jeff Lebby.
Yep.
Chad Bumpus. A little further down, ran into Caleb Cunningham.
Yep.
Imagine that. He was here. I saw Cole Gordon. I saw Brooks Bryant, former MSU baseball player. I saw Brooks Bryant.
We saw Dak, but he was up in the loss.
I did not speak
He's
to that.
He's untouchable up there.
I did not speak to that. Saw Rod Gibson.
Yep.
Saw my buddy Ryan Griffin. You wouldn't know him, but he's from the Golden Moon Resort, and he's a good guy. So, just an incredible day in Starkville. Saturday was a lot of fun. All right, let's move on and move in to the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you got a chance to fire up the grill this weekend, I hope you threw some beef on there, because you should, because it's the best. When you want to cook something good, cooking beef is always the correct answer. My wife was like, I've been on her the last 2 weeks. Hey, what do you want to do for Mother's Day? What do you want to do for Mother's Day? Won't ever tell me. This is the difference between me and her. I already know what I want to do for Father's Day. I knew like a month ago. But like,
what do you want to do? Gonna just go out to eat?
Huh? No, I want her to cook, but I know what I want her to cook, and I know what kind of gift I want. So with her, it's like pulling teeth.
And then you just like.
But what did she do? She told me today. What did she tell me? I like a nice steak dinner. Done. I can do that.
Easy money. I had a steak. Becky cooked a steak the other night. I went into the house. It was Friday night, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She went and got a New York strip.
That's a good steak.
From, I guess, Kroger. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it was really good. She had some leftovers, and I ate it last night at like 9 o'clock. Very good.
There you go. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Got the text back from Ben Garrett.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy, but also delicious.
Heavy?
Yeah, yeah. It is.
I agree with that. Worth it.
Yeah, I do agree. He had to drive back to Oxford. I may have screwed him up there. He might have been trying to fall asleep about Eupora.
You'll do it.
Oh, goodness. Two Brothers, man, Two Brothers was rocking on Derby Saturday. That place was going. Our friend Maria was on the porch there.
Yep.
Yelling unmentionable things at us, I must say.
She wanted to see our wiener dogs.
We don't have any wiener dogs. We didn't have one. We were just spectators there. But that place was packed, and I had a couple people tell me, they were like, yeah, I ate lunch there. I ate dinner there last night. It's fantastic. It's just the best in town, guys. I love going to Two Brothers. It's one of my favorite places. It's not just to eat, but just to go. I just like to go to Two Brothers. I always feel welcome there. The people there are always so super nice. But the food is what the calling card is, and it's really, really good. If you want to enjoy some smoked Southern soul food, there's only one place to get it. That's at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and that's what they've been doing for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers. 49 years of taking care of you. When you need technology for your business, call Advantage Business Systems. And then if you need service on something they've sold you, it's just a phone call away. It's just as easy as that. They'll take care of you. One phone call, no problem. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. They've got you taken care of at Maroon & Co. When you need Mississippi State gear, when you need Mississippi State logo wear, it's at Maroon & Co. Stuff you can't get anywhere else. The banner rim going out, the state script coming in. They've got all of that, plus the interlocking, plus the M over S, plus the walking bully. If you want to get a Bulldog Initiative polo or pullover, you can only get it at Maroon & Co. They are the exclusive provider. Everything you're looking for, maroon and white, under one roof, just off of campus. So before you go to Duty Noble this spring, before you go to Davis Wade this fall, before you go to the Hump this winter, you go to Maroon & Co. All right, an active weekend in the transfer portal for Mississippi State. And it starts with, we'll start with basketball. Somebody let this kid know, hey, you know, you gotta time these things a little bit better. RJ Melendez, Georgia small forward. What are you, like 6 a.m. on a Saturday? Nobody's awake, buddy. You gotta plan that a little bit better.
Was that when it came out?
It was early. It was like I woke up at like 7:30 and it was already out there.
Was it?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. Let me see what time.
Are you sure?
So Paul, I'm almost positive. Yeah. So let me see, because I know my cousin over at Six. By the way, I got a sweet sixpackspeak.com T-shirt. I'm gonna start wearing. Very nice. Very nice. I asked for that. So
I wish I could get one of those from my coworker.
He tweeted at 7:21 a.m. on Saturday morning. Maybe
he was on his visit.
I mean, what are we doing, man? Come on.
He was excited.
I mean, I get it, but you know who's awake at that time? So anyway, RJ Melendez played for Georgia last year, averaged just under 10 points per game. A good defensive player, a decent offensive player. If nothing else, Mississippi State just replaced DJ Jeffries.
Yeah.
That's what this guy does with a little bit more offensive game is how I would look at it.
I think that's what I've thought too. I mean, I would say DJ's probably a better defender, but I don't think that much better. I think this guy can hold his own for sure. I think he has more potential offensively. I mean, he scored 35 this past year against Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw people getting upset about this. I think it's just because they've gotten their mind on the Trezarion
White.
Is it Trezarion?
Yeah. Something
Trezarion
like that.
White.
It's close enough, yeah.
Who numbers are good, but this guy averaged almost 10 points in the SEC.
He is SEC proven.
I mean, he's actually done it.
That is something I really like about this transfer class so far is that every one of these guys is a power conference guy.
Yeah.
Clary, Harris, Nwoko, mm-hmm. and now this guy. And the guy that we think might be next, these are all power conference
guys. If you can have production in this league mm-hmm. or in the Power Six and your numbers are solid, I'm taking those over somebody that has some better numbers than that person does in the group of five or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and I'm not saying I would take him over White. I still prefer White,
mm-hmm.
but I think that he's a fine pickup.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about it. You're looking for somebody that brings that defensive edge, and we believe mm-hmm. that he can do that, mm-hmm. that could replace DJ Jeffries and what he did in the perimeter. So this guy has what happened?
Triple. Two out triple.
Oh, he'll be left stranded.
Well, we'll see.
This guy can score and he can defend. You have scores. You have Josh Hubbard, mm-hmm. Claudel Harris, and Clary now.
Clary.
I don't have to have another guy that's shooting a lot of three-pointers or whatever.
Part of what made State so successful these last 2 years is what they got defensively out of Jeffries and Matthews.
Yeah.
So you still have Matthews. You had to replace Jeffries.
Mm-hmm.
You've done that now with a guy who might be a little bit better offensively than Jeffries was. How is that not a win?
I just didn't understand people that were just freaking out about
this. It's simple as this. They see that White averaged 19 points a game.
Exactly.
And they think, wow, you know, if you could get him. And look,
we're forgetting about the fact that he did. I mean, he had a good game against Kentucky.
Yeah. He might be a really good player.
Yeah.
And
like
he
I
might
said,
be able to come
I
in and
I would pick
something.
Him over Melendez.
Yeah.
I mean, I would.
But,
I'm just saying, if this is the guy that you get instead of him, I don't think it's a huge loss. I think Chris Jan's still got a good player. And at this point now, I'm just trying to fill that five.
Yeah.
You need to go out there and get a good five. That's what State should be worried about this point.
And that's the next name to watch is going to be, if he can play the five, is Van Allen Lubin from Vanderbilt. Great name, by the way.
Yes.
6'8", 226 for the Commodores. Solid player for them.
And again, SEC experience.
SEC proven
was
player.
Was good in the SEC.
Yeah. Committed to Notre Dame out of high school, then ends up at Vanderbilt. And now transferring out. He entered the portal with the do not contact and is apparently visiting Mississippi State. That tends to let you believe that he's ready to come to Mississippi State. Now, could it go another way? Sure it could. But if your lineup next year is Lubin with Matthews, Melendez, Hubbard, and Clary, with Harris, Nwoko, Keyshawn Murphy, Sean Jones coming off the bench.
Much more talented team than you had last
year. That's
a
tournament. It's another tournament team. That's all it is. Is your stacking.
It's your most talented team since the one that missed the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
That had Robert Woodard and
Perry. And, yeah. That team.
Well, they made the NCAA tournament. I guess they made that was their
No, you're thinking about the Q team made the tournament. The next year, the COVID.
That's
happens.
Right. That's right. COVID.
COVID happens. They,
yeah,
they
that's
were,
right.
They
that's
were
right.
on the bubble.
We don't even know if they would have made
know.
It. That,
don't know.
It's the most talented
but
team.
But that
since
team is talented.
From a talent perspective.
Exactly.
It's easily Chris Jan's most talented team.
That's a good pickup for State basketball. Move over to football. And I mentioned I saw. Tied it up.
Hit?
Yeah. Single.
That game's nuts.
That's a nuts game. So now they've got a man on. I love doing this, by the way. Man on with two out. Man on first, two out. For Weiss is up for them.
I remember after State punched their ticket to Omaha in mm-hmm. 2021.
Yeah,
we came in here and did the podcast, and Ole Miss was playing Arizona, and we're trying to recap.
I could not
it.
Do
like,
the podcast.
He's like, "Ooh, another home run from Arizona."
It was so much fun.
You were just, I was like,
I was
okay.
I
finally was like, "Can you just turn that off?"
I couldn't though. I was giddy.
State punched their ticket.
You know, sometimes hate is good.
Adding insult to injury.
Yeah. Anyway, we ran into Chad Bumpus, and I was like, all right, do you ever work? Like, do you ever do any work? And he laughed at me. And Apparently,
they just got off the ocean for Coleman Hutzler's
birthday party. That's what I told him.
I
had seen his Facebook story, and I guess it was just an older picture of them out on that boat.
It was from this like a couple days ago.
But yeah, I saw it on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I thought he must be on that. And then I saw him out in the lounge. I was like, oh, there you are. So he was working, and he gets a commitment on a Saturday from Trent Hudson out of New Mexico. Did we determine it was New Mexico? Or New Mexico? It was
New Mexico State. Yes.
Yeah, because he said state to state in his.
And life. I hate getting those mixed up, but I get those are way more easy to mix up than state and Ole Miss. Like, I don't see how people mix up state and Ole Miss, but New Mexico and New Mexico State, that's a little tougher. They're both kind of like red or maroon. I think New Mexico's red and New Mexico State's maroon. So they're like closer shades than what Ole Miss and State are.
Yeah.
And then they're just kind of irrelevant. I mean, I'm just gonna be honest. I mean, what sport are we really excited about with New Mexico and New Mexico State?
Ben Garrett said he put some SERP on that Mississippi River business. I said that's a good call. That's a good call. I like how we're keeping these callbacks here in the show. This is fun. I mean, Lebby is just like, I need weapons, man.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's gonna happen defensively. I need to be stocked, locked, and loaded, and they are. This kid, you look at his stat line. He's Caleb Ducking. He had 36 catches last year at New Mexico State, 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So
I hope he's better than Caleb Ducking. Although Ducking, I thought, turned out to be good for 1 year.
His 1 year, he was good. And I mean, if you get that kind of production out of him, I think you're not going to be too upset with that. So Mississippi State adding to the football team,
and also they're finally seems to be having traction on defense.
Yeah. And that's what I was just going to get to. So, this weekend, By Job made it to campus, as did West Virginia cornerback, Montrell Miller. Is that his name?
I think that's right.
And then
Montrell Jordan.
We were seeing Indiana cornerback Kobe Miner on campus as we speak right now. So
we'll have to get Grace and Stefan to shut him down.
Yeah, they'll let him know how we
the
roll.
Indiana, how maybe we Chris Lamonis can be a part here of that too. The Indiana to Startville pipeline.
Oh, then we bring in Courtney Robb and Ben
Courtney
Portnoy.
Rob, McKenzie. I mean,
we can go old school, get Courtney Cronin up in this mug.
The Indiana to Startville connection has been
wild.
It's huge.
It's fantastic. So we'll see. So State's trying to get some traction there with some defensive guys. No commitments as of yet, but we'll see what happens. But that's good to see. At least they're getting them on campus at that point. So.
And I keep saying this about Jeff Lebby. He's getting, you know, some people were like, where's the defensive guys? Why are we getting these offensive guys? I continue to say, like, I think Mississippi State should get as many weapons as possible on offense.
If you can't be good defensively, you better be good offensively.
Be really good
on
offense.
So load up.
Because you can't. What happened?
It's a wild pitch. Right on second.
Oh, my Lord.
This might happen.
These two teams, neither one can pitch.
Neither one deserves to win this game, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, oh, well.
So, yeah, if you're not going to be good, if you're not sure about what you got defensively, you just load up on the offense. You got to have 85 players. If it means you got to have 50 of them are on the offensive side of the ball, then just do it. What you got to do, so. Good weekend for Mississippi. Really good weekend here in Starkville. Really enjoyable, like I said, on top of baseball, on top of the Starkville Derby. Softball had a great weekend. Men's tennis has a great weekend. You have a good weekend. Basketball and football recruiting. That's about as good as it gets for Mississippi State. Good times.
If they could have won Sunday, it would have been as good.
Would have been incredible.
Softball, by the way, one of the best regular seasons in school history.
14 top 25 wins.
They have not been 500 or better in SEC play since 2007. That was my senior year of high school. I just finished my senior year of high school when that happened. And since then, not a single... What happened now?
They stole third.
Oh, my gosh.
So you just need a base hit. It's 2-2 at the plate.
Not a single year have they been 500 or better in SEC play since 2007. So this is a
really good.
This is a tough place to win.
And then on the other side of that, this is what, like the fifth Sweet 16 for the tennis team in the last 6 years or something like that?
The tennis team might be the best program on campus.
You can make that case.
It's not,
they're just year in, year out. They're going to
popular,
be a top 15 kind of program.
From a production standpoint,
yeah.
They won two SEC tournaments. In like the last 5 years or so. Yeah. I mean, it's Matt Roberts has done. He's taken that program to the next level. So they lost.
It scored on a wild pitch.
Oh. Who was pitching?
Connor Spencer.
That's the guy. I was just talking about him. He was like shoving it against State.
Yeah.
And then.
Oh my God.
Hunter Hines hit that monster home run.
Against single. Wild pitch, stolen base, wild pitch. That's how Ole Miss loses that game. That is a very Ole Miss way to lose that game. So Auburn technically still alive for the SEC tournament, but I think they would have to sweep the next 2 weekends, so that seems highly unlikely. All right, guys. That was fun.
Yeah, they got to win. They can't lose another game.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss has got to
– I think
– I'm talking about tournament.
They need 13. Like
regional. I think 13 will probably
that
get
would
them
mean
in.
They have 9. They have to get 2 against A&M.
They're at 9.
Yeah.
They got 2 against A&M and LSU.
That's going to be tough.
And LSU's starting to play better.
And it's in Baton Rouge.
Yeah. So I don't know.
We'll see.
Well, they swept them there.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
They had to have it, yeah. And they had to have it, so.
That's crazy. We'll
all right, guys. Have a great Monday. Back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.